last month. Steve Palmer has served up three massive prize winners this week on the Sweet Spot. He bids to make it five, because we've got two tournaments, but the main one is the Players' Championship at Sawgrass. Welcome along to the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show. I'm Bruce Millington, he's Steve Palmer. And Steve, I suppose really it was a mixed bag last week, wasn't it? Still battling with the old COVID, but then Scotty Scheffler made it, gave you a real pick-me-up, didn't he?
Yeah, the chef never lets us down. We've backed him twice this year. Both times he's served up a delicious treat. he's definitely my favourite chef now. I didn't really have a favourite. I don't know whether you have a favourite chef.
I don't like Gordon.
Oh, Rick Steen. Any relation to Mark Steen, the famous Chelsea striker? No, I don't like Gordon Ramsay, too sweary. Don't like Jamie Oliver, find him very annoying. So, yeah, for me, Scottish chef is my favourite chef by a country mile.
Excellent. We don't know what he's like at cooking, but he's certainly good at golf. It was a terrific week. Before we get on to this week's two tournaments, we've got the Players' Championship and we've got something called the My Golf Life Open in Africa. We will look back on a bonanza of a week last week. Three tournaments. You fired 13 darts and they all made it through to the weekend, didn't they, Steve, with varying degrees of promisingness. And in actual fact, probably once we got to halfway, Scheffler was one of the ones that looked slightly less promising, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Now, I mean, the Arnold Palmer, we have to say, was a fantastic golf tournament.
Brilliant.
I was going to, you know, to say our winner was never in doubt was not entirely true. I mean, it was a really topsy-turvy final day. I mean, you make the point about Scheffler coming from behind. Yeah, we call him the chef. We might have to start calling him Scotty Scurlow. You know, Scurlow champ. Scurlow champ might have to be his nickname, because in the Phoenix Open, he was 150-1 at the halfway stage, wins that. Last week, he was 80-1 at the halfway stage, wins that. You know, he likes to get detached, give him a big head start like Scurlow champ used to do and come galloping through. The Arnold Palmer, an absolute joy. They were grinding their pants off, weren't they?
It was a brilliant course. I don't remember Bay Hill being that interesting and that exciting, but it was just, that's what I want from golf. I want, you need to find the fairway. If you don't, you're potentially in trouble. Everything was just so sort of dramatic and interesting, wasn't it? And you thought Gary Woodland was going to win it, and then he blew out spectacularly. Hovland, let's not forget, he was 10 clear. He was minus 10 at halfway, wasn't he, Hovland? And then I think the winner won it on 5-under. It was just extraordinary. I loved it. What a tournament.
Yeah, me too. It's that test of mental resilience that I love most. You know, it was a mental test as much as anything, wasn't it? And Scotty Scheffler, bogey-free on that back nine, 1-under par for that back nine. The pars at 15 and 16. Yeah, were absolutely heroic, weren't they?
They really were. He got such a bad break on the par five, didn't he?
Yeah, and the third shot of 15 was probably the best one. He's miles back from thick rough. There's only one tiny little place where he can land it to get that pin high, and then he did, and then to convert the putt. So, really gutsy stuff from the chef.
He's only 25, by the way. He's massive, isn't he? That lovely, great, big square jaw, and I just don't get it.
He's an old head on young shoulders. Because they asked him afterwards if he was going to celebrate and that, and he said no interest. He goes, "I've got a Players' Championship next week." Head down. You know, he seems he's a very measured character, isn't he?
He really is. Yeah.
We do love the chef, but we don't love Shubhankar Sharma. Yeah, you know, we have to discuss the Kenya Open, I suppose.
Tragical than magical, wasn't it? That.
Oh, yes, very much so, John. I mean, such a disappointing Saturday, wasn't it? See, Saturday 75 from Shubhankar Sharma when he was in the lead. He played beautifully to get into the halfway lead. And I had a fantastic bet at the halfway stage. I know I keep banging on about it to you, but we're not supposed to talk about figures. But this was low stakes that nearly turned into wonderful stuff. I had a £20 each way treble. Sharma, Scheffler and Brandon Wu in Puerto Rico. Sharma's 100-30 Burlington Bertie. Scheffler's 80-1. Brandon Wu 66-1. The one that lets me down on the places is Sharma. Scheffler wins. Brandon Wu finished third. Sharma dropped from first to 17th on Saturday. Rallied to finish. He got into sixth place on Sunday. I'm all excited about 10 bags place return, and then he faded again down to 13th place. So Kenya was, as you say, tragical, because Oliver Becker as well. 63 was the best round anyone scored all week. He shot 63. Oliver Becker, our number one pick on Sunday. and finished eighth. I mean, there would have been a lot of Becker Scheffler doubles around last week. Mm. I certainly had that. I know a lot of people that had that one. You know, Becker didn't quite do enough to make us sing on that one.
No, just very quickly in Africa. I mean, Ash and Wu won it. I think it was about 55-1 at the outset. That's his fourth win, so he does know how to get it done. But I'm not quite sure what the circumstances are that you ever kind of think, oh, yeah, I definitely fancy Ash and Wu. I guess one thing about Dean Burmester, one of the favourites, he shipped 9 shots in 3 holes during the third round. So I'm sure his backers will be every bit as wistful as the Oliver Becker backers. But I think that's about it for that tournament. And then we move on to Puerto Rico. Well, lovely story, wasn't it, with Ryan Brain winning. I know that he, you know, obviously we wanted Brandon Wu to win for your 80-1 tip or 66 or whatever he was. But he finished third. But it's some story, wasn't it, Ryan Brain?
Yeah, amazing that he managed to, you know, Brain's brain was in incredible condition last week because he's playing in his last start on a medical exemption. He needed to win or finish solo second to retain his PGA Tour card. You know, last chance saloon. And he said it was the most relaxed he's ever been on a golf course. He must have one heck of a sports psychologist by his side because, you know, how does he get relaxed in that scenario?
He said he got wife Chelsea on the bag, didn't he?
Well, wife Chelsea. Yeah, wife Chelsea did an amazing job, didn't she?
She did.
Great scenes afterwards. Wife Chelsea was whooping up the crowd while Ryan was doing the interview. She was just giving it the big into the ground. Yeah, wonderful scenes. You've got to be pleased for Bremen. Yeah. And certainly.
And he suffered tragedy, hadn't he? His mum had died quite recently as well. So it was a lovely story, wasn't it? And he's off to the Players' Championship now. He wasn't sure whether, you know, yesterday he'd be off to find out where the latest Corn Ferry tournament was or heading up to Sawgrass and it's the latter. So fantastic. Yeah. It's a life changer, isn't it, for him?
You're absolutely right. Shows the power of what you can do with the human brain, because in that situation he should have crumbled, but he'd accepted that he'd become a Corn Ferry Tour player. So in his words, he said he had nothing to lose and everything to gain in that tournament. Mm. And him and wife Chelsea just had a whale of a time. So yeah, delighted for Brem, obviously gutted for Brandon Wu, but you know, should be some place returns. Third place, yeah, Brandon Wu, miscut, missing every single cut. He goes, and then that 66 was a little seed of confidence in the Honda Classic. Second round 66, played really well, and then he carried that through to Puerto Rico. I think that'll settle him down now, and Brandon Wu can go on to become this superstar I expect him to be.
Okay, excellent. Right, is that it for the roundup, or is there any other thoughts, any other players you wanted to mention?
No. I mean, we've got the unofficial fifth major to deal with here, haven't we?
Yeah, so let's get on with that then, shall we?
Give it the respect it deserves.
OK, yes, it is the Players' Championships. The action starts at 11:45 a.m. UK and Ireland time. We are just south of Jacksonville for the legendary Sawgrass Golf Course with its Island 17th, of course, water everywhere. Always one of the great tournaments, one of the highlights of the golfing year. And doesn't clash with the Cheltenham Festival this week either, which is unusual. It's the week before. Let's have a look at the market. They're all good ones. 11-1, Johnny Rahm is favourite. 14, Justin Thomas. 14, Colin Morikawa. 20, Patrick Cantlay. 20, Rory McIlroy. 20, Victor Hovland. 25, Scotty Scheffler, 28, Matsuyama and Schauffele, and 30, Barr. So, I mean, aside from DeChambeau, who's still not fit, all the good ones are here. Should be a fantastic week. Remind us all about Sawgrass, Steve.
The famous stadium course, TPC Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, 7,256 yards, par 72, known for its iconic 17th hole with its island green, host since 1982, always one of the best fields of the year. And we switched back from March. We had a March slot in the calendar in 2019. So it used to be played in May. Now it's played in March from 2019 onwards. Colder air in March, lusher terrain in March. Ball doesn't fly as far. Ball doesn't run as far. But the greens are more receptive. And I think they'll be particularly receptive this year because there's rain in the forecast.
Yeah, it's an interesting forecast, isn't it, Steve? And very cold on Sunday. I think it could be about 10 degrees. That's not a typical Floridian climate, is it?
You're absolutely right. It's a dodgy weather forecast, isn't it? You know, stormy Thursday, Friday, windy Saturday, cold Sunday. It's unsettled. There's draw bias potential because of that thunderstorm threat. It's difficult to know how long those breaks in play will be. You know, if there's electrical activity, I must admit, I'll hold my hands up. I'm fretting. I'm already fretting. The golf tournament is still a long way off, and I'm fretting because the draw is already out. They get the tee times out early for the Players' Championship, and they're out, and all my five selections are in one half of the draw. So I'm scared. I'm shaking. You can see that there. Ever since the draw's come out and I've seen that, I've been a little bit nervous about this.
It's not too late to change.
It's not too late to change, but I've just got it. Yeah, I don't want the weather forecast to dominate me, my thinking. I've got my five, and there's only a small chance that it can all go horribly wrong. I mean, the danger, the one, I get my fret on the table here.
Sorry, are your five early Thursday?
Yeah, they're early late. So what I want are short delays, because what I'm dreading is that they have to play on Saturday, which is the windy day. You know, if my lot are out playing second round on Saturday, then that could destroy everything. So yeah, keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. Let's just you know, dig deep.
Okay. Oh, that was a very negative start. Coming in, I thought you'd be on the crest of a wave.
I was on the crest of a wave until the draw. It's always nice. Yeah, you always prefer to get half and half, don't you, when you get your selections and the tee times come out. But anyway, no, I'm on the crest of a wave.
Are you all right health wise? Because I mean, it has been a horrible week, and we've both had it. Well, both still got it, as far as I know. I haven't tested today, but yeah, certainly had done it. It takes it out of you, doesn't it? I've got to say.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, I'm a little bit further down the line. I mean, it was crazy, wasn't it, that I had it and then sort of passed it along the microphone to you last week. And you know, perhaps
I went to, after we did the show last Tuesday, I went to Palace v Stoke, and it was about 16 of us, and we all had a few drinks beforehand, and we were all a lot of us were supposed to be going to Wolves on Saturday to watch Palace there. And I tested the night before and couldn't go. And subsequently, we all seem to have got it. So I think Stoke, for Palace versus Stoke in the fifth round of the FA Cup seems to have been a bit of a super spreader. But hopefully through the worst of it.
There's a lot of it about.
There certainly is, mate. Yeah, there absolutely is. Right then. Anyway, without further ado, how many selections have you got?
Five selections, all early starters.
Okay, is it a workable odds package?
Yes, it's nothing shorter than 30-1. The shortest price is 30-1, so it's an attractive odds package.
Oh, wow. So you're not going for the chef again, no?
No, not going for the chef.
Right, who's the headliner then?
The headline is Shane Lowry at 45-1, who played some of the best golf of his career in the Honda Classic last time out. That was his first PGA Tour event of the year. He closed with three consecutive rounds of 67 at PGA National to finish second. That is a really difficult Florida golf course. Lots of water, lots of breeze. Similar assignment to what he's facing this week. And he'll be hoping to get a bit more luck. The luck of the Irish, they always talk about, was not evident on the 72nd hole of that Honda Classic. You know, while Sepp Straka was able to boom his drive in perfect weather at that closing par five, make an easy birdie and win, the heavens opened by the time Lowry got there. It was raining cats and dogs and ruddy elephants. There was nothing he could do about it. You know, he waited under the umbrella, but he can't wait forever. It made the whole play so long, so difficult. He could only manage a par, lost by a shot. He said it was the worst break he could ever remember getting on a golf course. But he took it well because he knows he's found his A game in time for the Players' Championship. He skipped Bay Hill last week. Smart move. The chef, Hovland, McIlroy, they invested so much mental energy last week at Bay Hill. You want to come to Sawgrass fresh, and Lowry's going to do that. Last year, it looked like he's got a handle on this track now. Strong weekend, finished eighth. That eighth place came when he was in poor form. He'd missed the cut at Bay Hill week prior. This time, solid efforts in the Middle East, then runner-up in the Honda. Lowry, to me, looks absolutely primed. And the weather, yeah, we're worried about it, but it could be a positive for Lowry. Yeah, there's no one in the field more adaptable to changing weather than Lowry. You know, rain, wind, cold, he can handle everything. He's proven himself in all weather conditions. So, yeah,
apart from that one the other week.
Apart from that one, which
that was a freak, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, as you say, it was sunny. It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Broke my heart in two. Broke his heart in two. He lives in Florida now, Shane. I think he'll get his first home state glory on Sunday.
Smashing, and he's 45-1, is he? Excellent. By the way, talking about the those players who played at Bay Hill. I mean, I know it was a tough week for them mentally, and that, but you know, we have to keep these things in context. Some of the comments afterwards, pitiful, weren't they? All you've done is play a bloody round of golf. You know, you haven't had shell fire going off overhead. And yet, you listen to him, it's like, oh, you know, I'm so beaten up. Oh, I can't take it. What have they done to us?
I know. I found it hard to listen to. I think Rory, some of Rory's comments were poor. I mean, Gary Woodland was probably the worst one, because Gary Woodland came in for his interview after the double bogey at 17. The first thing he said was, "Oh, I'm so glad to get off that golf course. You know, what a crappy golf course," sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, the poor thing, to go to a golf course for your place of work.
But if he'd parred 17 and won, he wouldn't have come in and said, what a crappy golf course. Yeah, I found it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't anyone else's fault that he played that laughable bunker shot at 17. I mean, what was that? It was ludicrous, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I hardly had a backswing on it, but No, but a lot of them, you know, feel sort of beaten up by it, and it was a mental test on the golf course. And I'm ruling out a few of them who come away dejected from it.
Okay, well, we'll get your thoughts on the leading lights in the betting after we've had your other four selections. Who's your second tip?
Next best is Hideki Matsuyama, 30-1. Got going late last week. Slow start before a final round 70. Only two players in the field bettered that Sunday score. Shows how difficult it was. You know, he was out of contention. He was enjoying himself early doors on Sunday. He finished 20th. Another solid effort from a player that I feel we can rely on now. He won the Masters a year ago, runaway winner of the Zozo Championship in October, playoff winner in the Sony Open in January. I think you've got to greatly respect him on certain weeks, and this is one of them. He's got a rock-solid record at Sawgrass, 7th in 2016, 8th in 2019, outscored everybody over the weekend, opened with a 63 to lead the 2020 event by two shots before it was abandoned and expunged from the record books. Missed the cut last year by a shot, 76-69, but he's 19 under par for his last five rounds at this track, and he's never been in better nick.
Splendid. I want to ask you something else about last week's tournament as well, what I think about it. What do you think of Tyler Gooch?
Taylor Gooch, rather.
He carries himself on the golf course.
Don't like a spitter.
It's non-stop. He's lucky you and Murray wasn't commentating, because Murray takes no prisoners. When you spit, if you don't shout four and you don't spit and you spit on the golf course, you and Murray, the full sort of moral kind of righteousness.
I don't like a spitter. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. And on the subject of four, of course, someone sent us that lovely clip, didn't they, of Nicolai Højgaard doing the most lusty four of all time. I sent you that,
Yes.
Absolutely. Bellowed it at the top of his voice, didn't he? It was brilliant, very commendable.
He was angry. He's combustible, is Nicolai Højgaard. That was an angry four, you know. It wasn't like great. He's got a bit of a head on him.
Okay, we've got who have we got? We've got Shane Lowry. We've got Hideki Matsuyama. Who's next?
Cameron Smith at 33-1, who lives in Pontevedra Beach. Sawgrass is his practice base. All five of my tips live in Florida. But Smith is the closest to the course, and he's been preparing thoroughly for this Players' Championship. He skipped the Honda Classic. He skipped Bay Hill. He's already banked some healthy checks this year. He won the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. Then he finished fourth on his Saudi International debut. Now he's got all his focus on this $3.6 million first prize. Yeah, the prize money this week is $20 million in the pot, 3.6 to the winner. Maybe he'd be able to afford a haircut if he wins that on Sunday. And last year in round three, he showed what he could do on his home track. A Saturday 65 on his way to 17th place. 12 months later, he's a better driver. And the weather, again, no problem. You know, he's great in the wind, is Cameron Smith.
OK, what do you pay for a haircut these days, Steve?
I always give £20 to my man. Yeah. Because he does the beard as well, you know.
I have to say.
I'm very lazy. Yeah, I like to just lay back and let him just do a bit of work on that.
You get the beard sculpted and the haircut for £20.
I do. I don't go very often, you see. So when I do go, I really go to town.
What are you, twice a month?
Pretty irregular. Yeah. Occasionally I can stretch to sort of 2.5-3 months, I think. Yeah. It's not easy to find time for a haircut. But I know I need one now. I don't look particularly good. I apologise. Cameron Smith will go well. Mullet or not, he'll go well.
Righto, who's next?
Wackham Neiman! 45-1. He's become such a solid player. He won the Genesis Invitational with a masterclass. 19 under par at Riviera is impressive. That came after 6th place at Torrey Pines, 8th in the Saudi International. Understandable hangover after his win. Missed the cut by a shot in the Honda. skipped Bay Hill to freshen up for this. He's another one of very effective in the wind, low ball flight. And the brilliance of Neiman at Riviera seems to have been forgotten. You know, it was chalked up at 50-1. I was surprised by how big he was this week. He's only had five rounds at Sawgrass. Maybe that'll explain it. But 73, 73, 71, 70, 70 is progressive form. He finished 29th last year. I think he contends more seriously this time.
What do you think the winning score will be this week? Minus 11?
Oh, that's a blimmin' good question. Because of the weather unsettled. It's tough to say. I mean, scoring, there's not that much wind in the first 2 days. So if they get out there and, you know, the delays don't help rhythm. Saturday's going to be very, very tough. Sunday's going to be very, very tough. 10 under.
Okay. Right. Yeah. One more to go. Who is it?
Corey Connors at 60-1. Greens in regulation machine made for a test like Sawgrass. He topped the greens in regulation stats at Bay Hill last week. He gained more than 11 shots on the field from tee to green. Putted poorly, as he often does, finished 11th. That's the second time he's finished 11th this year. Sony Open was the other. I think he gets in the top 10 this week. And we must make the point that the each-way terms are amazing. If you get in the top 10, you're going to make some money out of your selection. And I think Connors will do it. And I think the win stake is not lost. I think Connors can win this. I mean, he's getting more comfortable in the biggest arenas. He finished 10th and 8th in the last two Masters. He was 15th in our Open Championship last year. He turned 30 in January. I think he could win the Players' Championship. He won the Texas Open, comfortable in a breeze. And his Sawgrass efforts have been good. In that 2020 event that's been expunged, I love saying that, the 2020 event that was expunged from the record books, Connors finished 7th. He was 7th after round one. And last year, 7th again. Final round 66 was not bettered by anyone in the field.
Wow. Does he have short stick shortcomings or not?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He really does.
He's not the hottest putter on the planet, but I think at Sawgrass, short stick shortcomings can be overcome because, this is a tee to green test. And if he produces that ball striking performance that he did last week, he's going to be there or thereabouts.
Lovely. Okay, Steve, they're the ones you fancy. Let's get some thoughts on the guys at the top of the field, all of whom you've ignored. Jonny Rahm, favourite. Now, you pointed out it last week. I think you said he's won one in his last, I can't remember. It was like
17 months, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, 17 months. And the drought went on last week, didn't it? It was very much a bit part player. I mean, he very rarely seems to have horror weeks, but he's having difficulty just elevating himself onto the business end of the leaderboard, isn't he?
And elevating his morale. Like every interview I see him in now, I feel sorry for the reporters because he's so nasty to him. You know, rears up. Yeah. There was one guy asking about the length of his putter because he had serious putting problems last week. He putted abysmally last week. He put a new putter in the bag a couple of tournaments back. And it's not working out for him. He missed a 10-inch putt. Did you see the putt?
Yeah, I did see that. It was extraordinary, wasn't it? Yeah.
He missed a 10-inch putt. He was claiming that he was trying to pull the putter away and accidentally hit it. And I don't know what
I thought that. There, but, I must admit, I thought that was right. It didn't. It looked like he was just sort of messing around, trying to, didn't look like it was a proper attempt.
New putter doesn't look comfortable in his hands.
Someone
talked about the length of his putter and he goes, look, I'm fed up of listening to this. I've had the same putter length since my last year of college. I've had the same putter length.
You've got to be unhinged, haven't you? If someone asks you a question about your putter and you lose it, that's just ridiculous, isn't it?
You think he's getting angry because he's not winning many tournaments. So I don't know. I'd worry about Rahm temperament-wise again. I hope he settles down for the Masters because I'm starting to worry about our majors a little bit.
Someone in the comments section actually said, could you remind people about the majors ACCA? So quickly skip through them again.
It's John Rahm for the Masters. It's Victor Hovland for the USPGA, which I'm very, very happy with. Xander Schauffele for the US Open. We need him to win before that. Hopefully he'll get a low-grade win in somewhere. And then Rory McIlroy for our Open Championship. Yeah, it's still very much alive. And, you know, Bet365 has stopped taking bets on it because they've built up such an enormous liability. Hopefully Rahm will settle down. He's still got a month till the Masters.
Okay. As we always say on the show, thank you very much, by the way, for all your lovely comments on the comments section of the video. So keep them coming. Let us know you fancy this week. Anyone else we should mention? Thomas, Morikawa, did either of them catch your eye?
Yeah, if I was having six, I'd have Morikawa. He was the closest to selection there. you know, he got to grips with Sawgrass in the end last year, finished strongly. And yeah, this is going to be a difficult test this week. And you know, he and that sluggish start he made to the year can be forgiven. He just got COVID at the end of the year and didn't practice much. And then he came alive at Riviera last time out. So Colin Morikawa, very, very sorely tempted by him. But I just don't want to be backing anyone at short prices in this because of this unsettled weather forecast. You know, I haven't got any really short prices because you know, you could get unlucky with a draw quite easily.
Absolutely. And presumably, Steve, you'll be having a good look at all the top by nation and continent and match bets and all that kind of thing for the Racing Post preview in Wednesday and Thursday, won't you?
Very much so, Jean.
That was a funny tip you put up, wasn't it? Horschel to beat Gooch over 72 holes, because it looked like it might end up being first and second.
Yeah,
you got
yeah.
There in the end, didn't you? I thought Billy Horschel actually held it together well, didn't he? Because he was struggling, but he's a proper decent operator now, isn't he, Horschel?
I was pleased for the horse. It meant so much to him. You know, he caddied in that tournament as a kid in the pro-am. Yeah. He grew up 10 minutes down the road. I mean, it meant so much to him. He obviously wanted the horse to win if Scheffler didn't. But Taylor Gooch, not sure about him as a player or a character. Now you've alerted me to his spitting antics.
Well, I don't know. I think in certain parts of America, it's just seen as, you know, the done thing. I think in the southern states where they used to chew tobacco, they do it. But
yeah,
it just
Dustin Johnson.
Awful.
Dustin Johnson used to like a spit. Dustin Johnson sort of phased it out a little bit. Maybe the sponsors told him he had to stop spitting or something. I don't know. But Taylor Gooch, I'd be more worried about his four putt when he was, you know, you see that four putt.
I did.
He's not for me, that fella.
There was some incredible putting, wasn't there? I think Rory three putted from no distance as well, didn't he? A horrible sort of pull and then missed the one back. So he's three putted from literally 4 feet. It was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was on a downer from all weekend, wasn't he? 65, opened with a 65 and then just got in his head, didn't it?
It does go to show, Steve, doesn't it? Sometimes when you're on a Thursday or a Friday and one of the top players is going miles clear, you can kind of think, oh, this is just going to be a procession. But more often than not, they kind of come back to them, don't they? It's never over till it's over.
It's a very good point. It's golf. That's another very good point.
Shall we move on to our second tournament this week?
I think we should, because I like it.
Okay, it's called the My Golf Life Open, and we're at the Pekinwood Golf Club in, I think we're just west of Pretoria, the capital of South Africa. I've been to Pretoria once. I went to the World Cup final in Joburg, and the only accommodation that the travel company could find for us was in Pretoria. So Alan and I went and stayed the night in Pretoria, and all the Pretorians were out celebrating the fact that they'd hosted a fantastic World Cup. So we hardly got any sleep. And then the next day we went into central Pretoria with our luggage because we'd been out there for a week or so. And we were walking around and we're thinking, Christ, this isn't the sort of place you'd really want to be hanging around all day. So we thought, right, our flight back isn't until quite late. What are we going to do? And Alan wanted to go to museums because he's quite sort of cultured. I was like, do we have to? And the only place we could agree on that we wanted to go to that would occupy us all day was the zoo. So we spent all day in Pretoria Zoo. So it was a tremendous zoo, I've got to say. So I've got.
Did you
got
see George Kitsia? He's the porky Pretorian, isn't he? I would have loved
yes.
to have bumped into
George.
I didn't
know that was his nickname.
That's why you could.
That's a lovely nickname, that, yeah. So we're near Pretoria, aren't we? That's about all I know. Over to you for the rest of the details.
Well, Yeah, your local knowledge might help me here because I don't know how you pronounce the actual town we're in. It's Hartbeesport. And I don't know whether it's a silent T.
Is it Hartbeesport?
Is it Hartbeesport?
It's Sport, isn't it? It's 00, I think.
Yeah, it's 00. And it's double.
Hartbeesport. You have to give it the full Sydney-Frikon.
It's brilliant, isn't it? What a name. What a place to live.
Hartbeesport. Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
It's brilliant. And the name of the golf course as well, Pekinwood Golf and
Country.
Yeah,
I love that.
I mean, I just fallen in love with this event because my favourite nut by a country mile. I've said that a lot earlier today. I'll say again, no one knows what a country mile is, but my favourite nut by a country mile is a pecan. I love
is
a
it?
Pecan.
Yeah.
I love pecans. They're so
are they the
nice.
Kind of curved? Are they kind of cashew shape or are they more oval?
You might mistake them for a walnut.
You can't mistake a walnut. That's all knobbly, isn't it?
Yeah, well, a half a walnut is a quarter of a walnut's a bit like a pecan. Yeah, get your hands on some pecans. I guarantee it will transform your life. I mean, they're expensive, but rightly so. You know, they're delicious. But imagine playing a round of golf and just picking a pecan off each tree. That
oh,
you get.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Deliberately hit it in the trees to try and go and get some more pecans. Yeah. So yeah,
that would be nice. Cool. You've come over all gooey eyed at Peckhamwood in Heart Sport.
Yeah, I'm worried about Sawgrass, and Sawgrass has got me shaking. Peckhamwood, when I say the word, it just relaxes me. I have to, before I die, I must play around at Peckhamwood.
That'd be good, country, wouldn't it? Well, the rate you're going, if you keep tipping winners, we might be able to afford to get over there at some point.
It's true. And you have to brush up your driving because it's 7,697 yards. Par 72, four par five. It's a Jack Nicklaus design, you know, the usual Nicklaus blueprint. Wide open fairways, challenging approaches. The greens have got rounded edges. So, yeah, accurate approach play is the key to success here. We've only got one piece of worthwhile professional course form. There was a three-round Sunshine Tour event here in 2007, the Eskom Power Cup.
And that's a while ago, isn't it?
George Kutsia finished 12th in that. And it's so clear. I think George Kutsia has got to be on your shortlist this week.
What's happening? So someone trying to break into the shed?
I think that's my son knocking on the door.
Oh, brilliant.
Hopefully the wife will be onto that. Can Excellent. I tell him to go away or not?
Yeah, sorry you got, about you this, got, guys. Yeah, quickly go and yeah, do it nicely, though, won't you, Steve?
Tiger! I'm on a live broadcast here, so on you go. Go and find your mother. Nicola!
There you go. Blimey. Brilliant work, mate.
He
scuttled off, did he?
Yeah, yeah. I've told him to go and find his mother. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. That's fine.
It's like that one where the... the fella on the
BBC guy, yeah.
Yeah, the Korean. Coming, yeah.
And then the horrified nanny comes in and yeah, rescues the situation, but a little bit sort of brusquely for my liking. Let's have a look at the market, shall we?
Let's press on.
Okay, Dean Burmester, 16-1. Blimey, it's a wide open event, this, isn't it? Bernd Wiesberger, 20s. Adrian Ous is 25. So is our old mate Adrian Maronk. And so is Jordan Smith. Justin Harding's 28. Thomas Detry, 28. Johannes Veerman, 30, and it's 33-1 bar. So similar kind of cast to last week. Wiesberger's come in to add a bit of Ryder Cup quality. How many selections?
Five selections.
Okay. Who's the headliner?
Dean Burmester at 16-1. Peckhamwood made for big hitters. Nicklaus Designs let the big hitters open their shoulders. And I think the 16-1 about Burmester is so much better than the 14-1 about those favourites at Sawgrass because... Yeah, the weather is so important. Yeah, the weather's really unsettled at Sawgrass. The weather is set fair at Peckhamwood. You've got four sunny, hot days, light to moderate breezes. So, yeah, your John Rahms and your Justin Thomases could get done by the draw. It's very, very unlikely that Burmester will get a bad draw. And he's playing great. That 26th place last week is a bit of a bum steer, if I may say so. The Kenya Open venue was far from ideal for him, for starters, and he did really well. And there was that three-hole stretch on Saturday that I think you mentioned earlier, which absolutely killed him. The 13th, 14th and 15th in round three, he carded a 9, a 5 and a 6, 9 shots in three holes. He went pin hunting at that par 3 13th. The pin was right on the edge of the green and it went in the water and his head went for three holes. So he lost 9 shots in 3 holes and he was 10 shots behind at the end of the tournament. So, that's where the tournament's won and lost for Burmester. And in his tournament before the Kenya Open, he was runner-up in the Dimension Data Pro-Am. He's played a lot of golf in his homeland lately. He won the South African PGA Championship in November. He was fourth in the South African Open in December. I think he's right in the groove for this. And he closed with a 66 in Kenya on Sunday on an unsuitable course. It's a dreamy setup for Dean Burmester.
I've just Googled some pictures of Peckhamwood Golf Club. Oh, my goodness me. It just looks like heaven on earth, mate.
There's 100 pecan trees, isn't there? I think.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I didn't get down to the nitty-gritty, but I saw there's a lovely lake. There's a hole by a lake, and it all looks lush and verdant. I wonder if there's wildlife as well. It's bound to be, isn't there?
Tony Johnson
in the gantry talking us through all the wildlife. Oh, it just seems idyllic. So it's obviously on the television, isn't it, this?
Oh, I think you might have just broken my heart there. Again, like my heart's going up and down like a yo-yo. I mean, I don't think it is.
Is it not?
I couldn't see it listed. I was surprised.
Because the Sky will throw the kitchen sink at Sawgrass, and because it's an East Coast event, it's off quite early, isn't it? So
11:30 a.m. Yeah, the coverage of Sawgrass comes on at 11:30 a.m. So basically, you've got 12 hours of Sawgrass coverage, and they're turning their back on the My Golf Life Open. I don't know how.
Because we could have used we could have used Peckhamwood as a sort of hors d'oeuvre, couldn't we, to our Sawgrass? Wouldn't that have been lovely? Never mind. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some pictures of it that we can Google. Okay, so Dean Burmester is the headline tip, Steve, and then who have we got as the next best?
Johannes Veerman at 30-1, another big hitter suited to Peckhamwood. He's been getting used to being a dad. Johannes Veerman Senior has been getting heavily involved in looking after Johannes Veerman Junior. He's been playing a light schedule as a result, and I like the fact that this week it's his second week in a row. He's playing for the first time this year. He's playing two events in a row. He's been a bit rusty for me. Last week he finished 26th in Kenya. Closed with a 68. So he stayed in Africa. He's going to get himself tournament ready. He's one of the best players on the DP World Tour for me. So much more relaxed since getting that breakthrough win last year. So yeah, Veerman, I think, is the biggest danger to Burmester.
Okay, and smash through the other three for us.
Marcus Armitage, 33-1. Popular Salford lad, one of the great characters of the circuit. Got his first win last summer in the European Open. Went all the way to the DP World Tour Championship and finished 16th in that. And he started 2022 impressively. 12th place in the Dubai Desert Classic. 9th in the Ras Al Khaimah Classic. Closed with a 68 for 17th place in Kenya last week. And he plays well in South Africa. 5th in the Joburg Open in 2017. 3rd in the South African Open in 2020. 6th in the Alfred Dunhill in 2020. And great iron player. Accurate approaches, as I say, key to success. Armitage well suited to this assignment.
Okay. And hang on a second, what's that? It looks like lager.
Barocca, mate. Barocca.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The old COVID. The answer to the COVID is Barocca. Good little tip for you there.
Thank you very much.
Number four selection, Valko Nienaber at 50-1.
Oh, he's back on the radar, is he?
Back on the radar. Never left my radar, mate. Got his schedule wrong last year. He's accepted that. He took some invites on the PGA Tour. It meant he let a DP World Tour card slip through his fingers. He's been playing on the Sunshine Tour this year. But there's no panic in Valko. He's only 21 years old. He's 21 years old. He knows he's going to be a superstar. He's just got to be patient, let nature take its course. Winning this event would solve a lot of problems. And the course is dreamy for him, as it is for Burmester. And Nienaber has proven on the course already. He finished third in the 2018 South African Stroke Play Championship at Peckhamwood. He was 25 under par in that event.
Righto, finally.
Final one. Actually, can I just say one more thing about Nienaber? I know we've...
Yeah, of course you can, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's fifth major week. We can have a two-hour-long program, can't we? I should have mentioned that he's finishing the top 25 in his last four events, but there's a crucial bit of information that I'd like to alert readers to. He recently recruited Ricky Roberts. Some of our older listeners will know Ricky Roberts. He was alongside Ernie Els for much of his career, caddying for Ernie Els. And at the end of January, Nienaber and Ricky Roberts linked up. And yeah, you know, Ricky Roberts doesn't get out of bed for nobody. You know, he's only going to caddy for really, really good players. He knows Nienaber could be a real cash cow for him.
I wasn't going to back him, but I am now. I'm not sure about the value of the caddy, because obviously if you look at Chelsea Bream, you know, it's true. You never know, do you? Okay, that's almost it. We've got one more, haven't we?
The finale is Hurley Long. Hurley Long. He's been a sweet spot tip at enormous prices in the past. I don't think we're ever going to get enormous prices about Hurley Long anymore. The cat is out the bag. Everyone knows that Hurley Long is a class act now. The Pebble Beach course record holder, of course. His last three tournaments, 18th in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship, 3rd in the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, 2nd in the Kenya Open. And his last three final rounds, 64, 64, 66. You give Hurley Long a sniff of the lead on Sunday and he'll get you by the short and Hurleys.
Very good.
Yeah, amazing effort last week from Hurley Long. You know, that Kenya track does not suit him at all. He's wild with the driver. To finish second there and then go to a course which is perfect for him, you have to respect him.
Fantastic. Excellent. Okay, those are the 10 tips for our two tournaments in case you missed them. Grab a pen and paper because Steve is about to reiterate them. Who are your five Players' Championship fancies?
Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama, Cameron Smith, Wakeham Neiman, Corey Connors.
Oh, and the My Golf Life Open?
Dean Burmester, Johannes Veerman, Marcus Armitage, Valko Nienaber and Hurley Long.
Fantastic. Excellent stuff. Okay, Steve, if you're only having one golf bet this week, what would it be?
It would be the Shane Lowry, Dean Burmester each way double.
Okay, lovely stuff. Well done, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck. Always a fantastic week. I hope your recovery continues. I hope mine does as well.
Yeah.
Hasn't been much fun at all. But never mind. There's nothing that gives you a bigger pick-me-up than a golf winner, is there? So hopefully there's one or two good ones in there. Next week, we are back, God willing, with the Valspar Championship and something called the Stain City Championship. Not quite sure what Stain City is, but I'm sure we'll find out. In the meantime, have a fantastic week. Enjoy Sawgrass. Bet responsibly. Leave us your comments. Tell us who you fancy. And most importantly, we'd love you to join us next week for another Sweet Spot.